truth is, the perfect Lamb of God between a broken-hearted mother at His feet. Pain of it all for me. The earth shakes, darkness falls, the Father hides His face. His body hits the dust of a borrowed grave. You paid it all for me, for me. I thank you for the cross. I praise you, without it I'd be lost. There's no love like your love. Thousand songs are not enough to say thank you for the cross. My victory, bursting from the grave, my risen King. The sacrifice for love was hell's defeat. You want it all for me, I thank you, for the cross. I praise you, without it I'd be lost. There's no love like your love, a thousand songs are not enough to say thank you. Thank you for the Father, for the Son, for the power of your love, for the Spirit that's in us, for the blood that overcomes, for your life, for your death, for the hope that's still ahead. We sing thank you, I thank you. Thank you, for the cross. I praise you, without it I'd be lost. There's no love like your love, thousand songs are not enough. I say thank you, for the cross. I praise you, without it I'd be lost. There's no love like your love, thousand songs are not enough. There's no love like your love, thousand songs are not enough. There's no love like your love, thousand songs are not enough to say thank you. Thank you for the cross. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood, and what He did for me on Calvary is more than enough. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Perfect submission, all is our end. I know the author of tomorrow has ordered my steps. So this is my story, this is my song. I'm praising my risen King and Savior all the day long. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. That's why I trust Him, that's why I trust Him. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. That's why I trust Him, that's why I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. coming back to first love, coming back to Jesus, I'm coming back to you. No more, no more going through the motions, you're my one devotion, I'm coming back to you. I don't want these familiar, treat it like it doesn't matter. I don't want to lose the wonder of your presence. Oh, I don't want to be entitled, just want to run just like a child, caught up in the joy and wonder of your presence. Oh, I am coming back to first love, coming back to Jesus, coming back to you. No more, no more going through the motions, you're my one devotion, I'm coming back to you.
Good morning. Welcome home. Hope on the Beach Church. Good to see you this morning. We are glad you're here. And you've come into a no judgment zone, which means you are free to worship as you desire. Stand, sit. You may want to do calisthenics this morning. It's a little breezy, but it's good to have you here. Raise hands, clap hands. You worship, let Jesus love on you today, because we're just glad you're here. And it's Reformation Sunday, so we welcome you on that special day. And let me call your attention, if you're not familiar with what that is, Reformation Day is when we celebrate the courage displayed by Martin Luther as he stood against the establishment for biblical truth. And so we are so glad that you've come to celebrate that today, even if you didn't know you were. So welcome. We're glad to have you. In fact, we have a opening song that will celebrate the Reformation. And the words to everything are in your bulletin. Let me call your attention to that. The bulletin has all you need. It has the lyrics to what we'll be worshiping with this morning. It has our calendar of events and just about everything you would want to find. Also inside it, you'll find a blue card. That's our connection card. We would love for you to register your presence today so we can have a record of that. We want to connect with you. We want to know you. And sometimes we don't always get to do it in person right away, but we can always know your name and where you are from. And that's important to us. So I'd ask you to fill out that info on the front side, and we'll put it in a bucket at the end of the service. But we want you to just be with us, feel at home with us, and let's worship Christ together. In fact, let's stand together as we worship the Lord who meets us in our wilderness. He turns our fear into faith, and he walks with us every single part of the journey. Let's worship the Lord together.
Hallelujah. All right, so this song was, this hymn is was written back in 1500 and something something. So it's a very old hymn, but it is part of our culture. So I want to teach you the chorus. Is everybody ready for this? It's in the first page on the inside. So part of this beach service here is also bringing things into the new millennia. And I'm not saying that what we've done is better. It's just easier to sing, in my opinion. And it's my opinion only. So feel free to post something online and let me know if you like it or if you don't. That's good. So here's the chorus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise to thee who life does send. Hallelujah, 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 without end.
What do you guys think? You guys think you can sing this? You want to sing it with me? Let me hear you. Make sure you got this. Here you go. One, two.
Hallelujah. 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 Without it.
Let's do that again.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise to thee who life does send. Hallelujah, 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 without end.
You guys got it? All right, here we go. Thy strong word.
Thy strong word did cleave the darkness. At thy speaking it was done. For created life we thank thee, while thine ordered seasons run.
Your part.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise to thee who like the sand. Hallelujah, 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 without end.
Thy strong word.
Thy strong word bespeaks us righteous, bright with thine own holiness. Glorious now we press towards glory, and our lives, our hopes confess.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise to thee who like the sick. Hallelujah, 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 without end. God the Father, light creator, you're the Lord and honor be to the light of light begotten. Praise be sung eternally.
Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit, light revealer, glory, glory be to thee. Mortals, angels, now and ever, praise the Holy Trinity. Alleluia. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise to thee who light does send. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah without end. Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, but still I'm found. He's the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it. Still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. When I was your foe, still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found. He's the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it. Still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found. He's the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it. Still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
Try it again. God's love is good, is it? It is ever pursuing. It's ever pursued, ever present. And it's here. God, we thank you. We thank you for you who didn't leave us to ourselves, but you pursue us with this crazy love that doesn't really make sense in our life. But you you gave yourself for us. So thank you. We thank you so much, and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, good morning. My name is Jason. I'm honored and privileged to be the pastor here at Hope on the Beach Church. And we're delighted to be here this morning. In my first full-time position in ministry, I was called to do a youth and children's ministry, and I was really pumped, and I thought, man, I'm out to change the world. I mean, I was ready. And I told the church, like, look, just give me 3 months, and I'm going to do some research of the area. I'm going to do some research of the ministry here, and I'm going to come back with this vision and plan, and then we're going to just take off. We're going to go change the world. And it was amazing. God gave incredible clarity. I met with other youth pastors who just like poured into me and said, hey, here's things you should work here. Here's things that don't work here. Here's what I learned. I was gaining such amazing wisdom. And in time of prayer, and we prayed together. And man, I just like, I had the dream. I saw it. And I shared a dream with the staff and with all the different boards and leaders. And then I just started running with it. And then I got frustrated because they couldn't keep up. And I just kept running, knocking down barriers, growing the youth ministry, the church. And it was several months. We had a snowbird pastor who would come down, and just for the 3 months with snowbirds. He was a very well-seasoned pastor with lots of experience, kind of like Steve. And he pulled me aside, and he said, how's it going? And I was like, oh, it's awesome. This is all that's going on. And I was like, well, and then there's some, you know, bad, frustrating things happening, and he just looked at me and he said, I think you're the rabbit that's lost the dog. And I was kind of crushed. I thought I was going to impress him. He says, you're running. But you're running alone. Have you been there? Running alone. Maybe running to what's the next, hoping that the next thing will be better. The next job, the next relationship, the next vacation. That next home, that retirement home near the beach. Only to find out it's not. And all your running has really just been running away from the past. Especially mistakes you made. I was running, yeah, I was running because I love the Lord. I love youth, but I also was running from my past. And thinking like this success would earn respect and make me feel better inside. The problem is, no matter how hard you run, how fast you run, how long you run, where I was is where I was. Who you are, where you are, is where you are. It goes with you no matter how fast, how long, how hard you run. But the good news I have for you today, the good news is, it doesn't have to be that way. And even if you're running, there's a God of love. And so today in our series we called Faith and Family, as we're in Genesis, we're walking through with these families and their faith and the brokenness and seeing God working his way through the families and bringing faith and giving us faith. And today we're going to see God's presence in the wilderness, in the places where you're running alone. And so if you're taking notes, number one, Jacob's wilderness is running and alone. Jacob's wilderness, running and alone. Jacob left, Genesis 28:10. Jacob left Beersheba and went towards Haran. And he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put under his head and lay down in the place to sleep. Well, what's going on? Jacob is fleeing. He's running from home because he just deceived his brother and his father. This has been a long term since the birth he was grabbed the heel of his brother Esau. He's been longing for the birthright. Remember last week we talked about how he plotted and schemed and finally got the opportunity to get the birthright from his big brother Esau with a bowl of soup. And Esau despised it and gave it to him. And the story progresses that with Mama, Rebecca, who loves him most, his favorite, helped him deceive his dad and steal the blessing and let his father Isaac put that blessing that was given to him from his father Abraham through God to Abraham, to Isaac, the promised one, now to Jacob. But since it was a scheme, he stole it. Now he's on the run because his brother is ticked to find out what he did, and he's ready to kill him. So Jacob's on a run of his life, and now you can imagine that he's been running all day, and he is just physically, emotionally, and spiritually drained, and he's lost. He's alone, afraid, and sleeping on a rock. Pretty much a little symbolic of kind of hitting rock bottom. See, it's interesting that even God prophesied that Jacob would be the chosen one. God foreknew his grace for Jacob. But Jacob was not patient enough to wait for that to come to him. He had to take the opportunity, and he did it the wrong way because his heart was filled with envy and jealousy and discontentment. And so he and Rebekah deceived his brother and his father. And so Jacob's life, you see it just in the highlights from scripture, is really one of sin upon sin upon sin upon sin, lie upon lie upon lie. And when we have a life that's filled with so many lies and deceptions and sin, that sin drives us into a spiritual wilderness with greater uncertainty. I mean, think about it. The very thing Jacob wanted most in life, the very thing he wanted most, that certainty of the promise, the power, but maybe the influence, the authority that came with that promise of God's blessing, of that covenant that he made with Abraham and Isaac to be his. He finally got it, but he got it the wrong way. Instead of having great confidence and great power and authority, it made things worse. It created greater uncertainty and greater anxiety in his life. It gave him less power. Along with it came guilt and shame, because he knows he was wrong. And as he's running, I'm sure he's looking back on life and seeing the whole life of acts of deception to get this blessing. He's feeling the shame that's kind of forming in, like, is this, like, I don't even know who I am. I have God's blessing, so now I got it, I took it, but I don't deserve it. And is it really a blessing? Is the covenant going to be true amongst me if I stole it and tricked my way through it? I got it through sin? We too experience times of spiritual wilderness. When there's times when sin separates us from God. We feel far from Him. We feel the guilt and the shame and the uncertain anxiety from this sin that we thought was good, maybe we thought it'd be okay, but we realize now that it was a mistake. We feel some of the consequence to it. Maybe we even feel like God is out punishing us. And that I don't even deserve to be forgiven. God cannot be with me. That's why some of you go to church and you can go to church, but you go to church like here on the beach, or maybe you go to a larger church and you just kind of hide. You stay under the cover. Like, I want to be closer to God, but I don't feel like I can be closer, because the more I push in to Him, the more I get closer to Him, the more I become more and more aware of the guilt and my own sin. And the gap I'm trying to close actually feels bigger. And so you keep running. Maybe running from church to church, place to place, searching, hoping that you could get closer and feel better. So where are you? Are you on a run? What is the wilderness? What is that wilderness that you're in right now? Number two, God's ladder, grace comes down. God's ladder is grace comes down. Verse 12, and he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, the God of Isaac. And the land which you lie, I will give to you and your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth. And you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I've done what I promised you. Jacob's head's on this rock, on the dirt in this desert, and he has this dream of a ladder. Some maybe say a stairway. And you gotta wonder, like, what's going on? That's kind of a weird dream. I mean, Jacob, did you get some wild mushrooms on the journey? I don't know, right? And what is this? Angels descending. What is happening here? And so this dream, the imagery that God is giving here is God is showing Jacob that He is connected heaven and earth together. His angels are coming from heaven to earth and back and forth. They're being connected. God is there in the midst of the wilderness. And yet here He is. It says God stands above it. And He stands above it speaking promise and blessing. He's confirming the covenant that He gave Abraham. And He's pouring out this promise of blessing to Jacob and Jacob's offspring and generations, that God's promise will be fulfilled. Despite your brokenness, despite all the sinfulness, God is still weaving and working His promise of the Messiah through you that will be a blessing to you and your family offspring for generations all. And He's standing above. This is the Lord. This is Yahweh. It's capitalized. Yahweh, Almighty God. Who's not sitting on a throne in heaven. He's standing. In the Hebrew, His standing means the Lord is positioning Himself with a purpose to show His authority. He's not casually standing there. He's purposely standing there to communicate that He is the sovereign God, the God who's ruler over all, who has all authority, who rules heaven and earth. God is the one who's directing what's happening. Jacob, this did not happen because of fate. This was not just some mere accident. This was not something you just decided to do. Even though Jacob's life, your life is feeling out of control. It's spinning out. In the chaos, I want you to know God is in control. It's a reminder. In our world that can be filled with so much chaos and sin, God still reigns. He stands above it all. More importantly, He is faithful to His promises. God is not giving up on Jacob. He doesn't give up on you. But here's an interesting twist. Because when you read it in the Hebrew, that word of stand above can also be interpreted as stands beside. And stand beside is way different than standing above as the ruler, supreme authority, but to stand beside him in his position that emphasizes that God not only is this God of all power and rule, but this is a God who stands beside, a God of mercy and grace. And this aligns with that words in verse 15 we heard. He says, I am with you. You don't feel it. You don't think you deserve it. You think I've left you. But I am with you. What a beautiful picture of God's promise to be with us. A holy God, a righteous God, to be with us in the broken darkness of sin. Then in the pit of pits, in the bottom of the bottom, in the rock of the bottom, He is with us. In fact, it's God who comes and steps down into the darkness, who takes on flesh. It's Jesus with us, Emmanuel, the God who was with us. See, God doesn't just rule above. He comes near to us in Christ. He came down the ladder for us. And as He came down that ladder, He will ascend up that ladder to heaven. But not just to sit because His work will be done, but prepare a place and make a way for you also to be in heaven. So the question is, as we look at this, is it, which one really is it? Which one is this text emphasizing? Is this the God of all sovereignty and authority and power who's ruling over and above? Or is this the God of grace and mercy who comes beside? And the answer is, it's both. It's both. We see, in Christ, God comes down the ladder. This great revelation is not just for like some great entertainment sake or showing off some glory, but God revealing His full character of who He is and who He is in Christ. That the Lord Yahweh is holy, exalted. He's in control. He has all authority. And we stand before a sovereign Lord who is righteous and who will judge us. And He has all right to judge us because He does not make a mistake. He's not sin. He's perfect. But this is the same Lord Yahweh, Almighty God, who's also gracious, who also comes near to the sinner in mercy. Jesus comes and He bodies both into us, this truth and grace, all power, and yet a servant too, who sets aside His power in order to what? To take on our sins for us. That He might be that substitute and be the penalty to pay for your and I's sins. So He's both. He's both the Lord of heaven of all things. He's also the Emmanuel God is with us. John writes it in John 1:51. He said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven open, the angels of God ascending on the Son of Man," who is Jesus. It's Jesus who comes and is the ladder who connects heaven and earth by taking on his flesh. And by going into this flesh and even walking amongst the chaos, in the most greatest chaos as it was in the time of when he was arrested in his mock trials, and he was moved around, he was persecuted, and he was crucified. Chaos, darkness, looks like it wins, and yet God was in control. God was ruling. God was fulfilling his promise that he made and being faithful. So all of us condemned sinners would receive the mercy of Christ that was promised all the way back with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. So when you're in the chaos of your sin in the wilderness, when you're down in the dirt, hitting your head on the rock, feeling alone and far from God, remember God is sovereign. He's faithful to his promises, and he's merciful, and he's there. He's there with you. And he's there in your wilderness, and he's using your wilderness time not to shame you, not to condemn you more, not to wave the finger and say you shouldn't have, but to grow you to trust him more. To grow you to surrender and understand he's a God of mercy and grace that you can trust. Number three, Jacob's response to God's presence. From fear to faith. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid, and he said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." So early in the morning, Jacob took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up on a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. He called the name of the place Bethel. But the name of the city was Luz at that first. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, "If God will be with me, he will keep me in his way that I go, and will give me bread to eat, clothing to wear, so that I come again to my father's house in peace. Then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone which I have set up on his pillar shall be God's house. And all that you give me, I will give you a full tenth to you." Jacob's heart was awakening to God's incredible mercy and grace. He didn't know it was there. He didn't realize he was present. He thought he was all alone, and God is there. He certainly was there. And he's filled, yes, with fear, but I believe with awe. And like, this is awesome. This is this place of wonder. Like, oh my goodness, how can this amazing, powerful God be with me? Me, a wretched sinner like myself, who suddenly amazingly aware of God's divine grace, an incredible gift it is. I mean, this is something I don't think Jacob experienced in his life, even when growing up. I mean, the father loved the older brother Esau. Rebekah loved him. They had favorites. And because he never was the father's favorite, he wasn't like the father. The father didn't prefer him, I think that the message would probably be that, man, you're just not good enough. Your brother, strong, mighty, warrior, hunter, and you're a domestic boy. And it's easy to take that earthly father relationship and move it to your heavenly father and believe he's far away, unreachable, especially when it falls into sin. And yet what happened? God comes to him. comes to him. In the worst and the most unusual place in the wilderness, he bumps into God in his grace. And he says, Jacob realizes, he says, surely God is in his place. I know it. See, the wilderness was once a place of fear and isolation, and now becomes holy ground because God's presence. Jacob marks the spot, setting a stone as a pillar and naming it Bethel, means the house of God. In that moment, his fear begins to turn to faith. He recognizes that, man, he's not been abandoned by God, despite his deceit and failures. And in return, he vows to follow God and give him a tenth of all he receives. Jacob's not doing this as a bargaining chip. All right, God, I want to keep your favor around. I want to keep your presence around. So I'm going to do this so then you'll still love me and have favor and you'll carry out your blessings. No, this was out of a response of gratitude to God's action. Faith is always based on what God has done and shown himself to you, that you respond in that faith, in that trust in him. And so what Jacob is doing is responding in a thankful trust. This is true worship. Not driven out of some duty, some fear, but a joyful recognition that the God who rules heaven and earth is a God of her mercy, who cares about even this one lost sheep. And he stands not just above, but beside. And Jacob surrenders. And he gives his life as an offering. He takes a life of worship to glorify God in his life. What Paul says in Romans 12, he says, look, he's like, therefore, in view of all God's mercy, therefore, what I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of his mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. This is holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. This is how we respond in faith for the God of grace and mercy, what he's done to us. That when you were running, or would be running in your sin, God divinely intervened in your life. When you're in your wilderness, God is there with you. And what happens when you encounter that grace? When you understand, I don't deserve this. In fact, I deserve the opposite. It's no longer, oh, yeah, I go to church. Oh, I'm religious. No. It's a life of worship. It's a surrender to say, God, I trust you above all things. I trust you to protect me, to lead me, guide me. I trust in your word of promises. I mean, I love David, and David, after his brokenness, he writes this psalm, and he just praises the law of the Lord. And that sounds weird to us. We don't get excited about laws. We tend to view laws as God is restrictive, and God is trying to control us. And he says, no, these are blessings. This is a gift of mercy and grace to give us life and lead us into blessings of how God designed life, how God wants to be with us and bring fruit among us. And he delights in it. And here it is, like, you delight, a life of worship. God, I embrace your word because your word is true. And your word gives life. Your word keeps me out of darkness into your wonderful light. It's in your word. It's actually freeing, not a captivity of my sin. Oh, the heart is full with awe, with fear and wonder that the mighty power and presence of God is with me. Who am I that he would be so mindful? If if we're still on the other side of this is just religion, we just put our hour in and we go do something else. Man, I encourage you, just go bump into Jesus and his grace. Do you really think you deserve it? Like you're doing a service to him to come? Or is it a heart of gratitude? It says, I can't buy this. I can't earn this gift of your amazing grace that I trust and surrender to you. Number four, Christ at Bethel. That God with us. At Bethel, Jacob saw a vision of heaven and earth connected, a ladder reaching to God and to the angels ascending, descending. I mean, centuries later, is this vision, again, is fulfilled in Christ. John said it. The angels and angels coming down. Christ is true, living ladder between God and humanity. And through his incarnation, death, and resurrection, he bridges the gap of sin that we created, making a way for heaven and earth to be united once more. And just as God stood next to Jacob, Jesus now stands next with us. Not in moments of worship, but what does he say? Wherever you go. Because Christ and every believer becomes a living Bethel, a dwelling place of God, of God's presence through the Holy Spirit. So when you read the word of Jesus, it's the living word, and you receive that living word, and that living word gets in your heart, in your mind, in your soul. God is dwelling in you. When you see baptism, man, baptism, when you see the Holy Spirit, again, God has put his Holy Spirit on you to dwell in you. You've been clothed in Christ because he's dwelling in you. You are the house of God. And when we take the meal from the Lord's Supper, the bread and the wine, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, God comes and he dwells inside of us. And just so we know, in a very physical way, he goes with us in our body. That you are not alone. I mean, this is the heart of the Reformation. When Luther, in his culture, in his time, in the 1500s, it was chaos. The world was chaotic. Life was in chaos and depression and great uncertainty. And the church was in chaos. And there was no certainty, no clarity. And everybody was wondering, am I saved or not? What did Christ do? Is God just above us, ruling over us? And we have to do all this work to try to earn the grace. And they didn't have the word of God in their hands. They didn't have it in their language. They didn't know the word. And Luther, part of that reform was to reform and bring the church back to the living word of God, that people would have the assurance that this is, yes, the God, the sovereign God, the Lord Almighty, but it's a God of mercy and grace who's with you, who's given the ladder through his son, Jesus Christ, that you are saved, you have certainty, and he's dwelling with you. And his love and mercy is greater than your sin, and you don't work it off. It's a gift because of his blood of Jesus Christ paid for it fully. Amen. All right, we'll try it again. It's a little bit of the gospel. I thought we'd be a little excited about that. So wherever the gospel is proclaimed, the gospel is said, wherever Christ crucified is proclaimed, heaven touches earth. Whenever the word is given, whatever repentance, return to him, heaven is touching earth. When it's baptized, heaven is touching earth. When we come into the Lord's Supper, heaven is coming to us and touching us again, touching earth. We come to worship. It's not about all our work and how great we worship. God is here working in you. It's heaven touching earth again. Because he's a God who comes to us. And not only cares, it is full of mercy, but he's able to save and deliver us. So when you're in the wilderness, and you know, outline, when you find yourself in the wilderness, remember Jacob's dream. Remember Jacob's dream. Remember one, God, the Yahweh, all authority, all powerful, holy, righteous God, meets sinners with mercy. I mean, what was Jesus criticized for? Jesus was criticized for being a drunkard and a glutton. They said, the Son of Man, what does he do? He's come eating and drinking. They say, look at him, the glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. He went to the outcast. He went to the rejected. He went to the labeled, the marginalized, the persecuted, the sinners. Why? Because God meets with sinners. He brings heaven to earth to them because he's a God of mercy. John 3:17, one of my favorite verses. God did what? For God did not send his Son to the world to condemn it, which he could have. And would have been right because he is holy and just. But in order that the world might be saved, through him he came. So maybe some of your friends, your co-workers, or your family, or even other Christians have written you off. Hear me, God hasn't. In fact, he's always there and always will be. Romans 8 says, and I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither fears for today or worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. The God who meets sinners in mercy, even in wilderness. And number two, God turns lonely places into holy places. He turns lonely places into holy places. David writes this in Psalm 139. Where can I go to escape your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the Sheol, which means grave, you are there. If I rise on the wings of dawn, if I settle by the farthest sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness is not dark to you, but the night shines like the day, for darkness is a light to you. God comes into the loneliest places and makes them holy. One of the times was a lonely place was in college. And it was just a wilderness time. There was mistakes made. And I was hurting. And I was in the dorm and need to go to the bathroom, so I walked down to the floor bathroom we had. And I go into the stall. And on the back of that door was two things. One said, God doesn't make junk. And the second one said, sin stinks, flush and be cleansed by Jesus. He loves you. I needed that. And so, yeah, even a bathroom stall can become a holy place. God will bump into you everywhere, even in the darkest, stinkiest places, with his grace, his forgiveness, and mercy that cleanses you, that cleanses all of you. See, A, God keeps his promise. Our memory verse, read it. Surely the Lord is in his place, and he is with you. He's with you. The question is, how are you going to respond? Are you going to respond with a life of gratitude and thanks and worship and trust in him? Or are you just going to keep running? Let's pray. God, we thank you that just like, even like the lost sheep, and God, you come out to us in our wilderness and our brokenness to rescue us. Your love and mercy is so great. And God, we recognize that, Lord, we have been running. We have just a broken sin in our heart. And we do things and we feel shame, we feel guilt. And we can try to fix it and we can't. We can try to bury it, we can try to run from it, we can try to get something new, but it still stays with us. And that's you, I want you to hear. God is a God of mercy and grace who gave his son to die for you. And that by his blood, you are forgiven and you're cleansed. That means he removes all unrighteousness. He forgets it. He doesn't hold it over you. He doesn't want it to define you. You are free to delight in him. In fact, the scripture says when you draw near, he's already there. He draws near to you. He's there. And he longs to be even closer. And all we have to do is turn to him. And trust what he said and what he's done was also for us. And I want you to know it was. And so it's my privilege and honor as a called, ordained servant of God, a pastor, to announce to you because of Jesus Christ, like all your sins are forgiven. He has forgiven and cleansed you. And therefore, as his children, we can boldly approach the throne of God. We can boldly go to him and make our request and speak to him. And we do that together in the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother, for that great word. You know, when God meets us in our wilderness and we receive his grace, we spend the rest of our life serving him, don't we? Trying to find ways to show our gratitude, our thanks, and to show him he is Lord of our life. And one of those ways is to recognize his ownership in all that we have. And our weekly offerings are ways to show God that he owns even what he has given us. And we want to share and give back. So in a moment, we're going to have ushers come by with buckets. You can place your offering in there. We've given you an envelope in your bulletin that would make it easy for you if you would like to slip your offering in there. Or also on that envelope there are instructions for how to give online at our website and so on. So we invite you to join us in our time of offering, which is a time of worship for us as well. And I want to call your attention to just a couple of reminders. One, ladies, 3 o'clock today, you have a painting party. Now, we're not painting walls. It's a fellowship. But you're welcome to come. It'll be at the 98 campus, 3 o'clock this afternoon. Men, we have our monthly breakfast, 9 o'clock this Saturday at the 98 campus. That's a time of fellowship, breakfast, and we have a brief Bible study. So we invite all the men to come. If you say, I've never been there before, well, come on. We've never had a bad breakfast yet. So just come and share with us next Saturday at 9 o'clock. Before we continue and take that offering, we do have one other presentation to make.
We have been blessed as the Lord has been bringing and raising people up, such as Margot Perman here, who has responded to God's love and grace here and by committing herself to be a member of Hope on the Beach Church. And so we asked her to make that statement public that she would join in a membership covenant, have been baptized, professing faith in Jesus, and be in agreement with Hope on the Beach Church mission, vision, theology, and structure, led by the Holy Spirit to commit to unite with the Hope Church family, and doing so, commit herself to the following with the other members. One, to protect the unity of the church, to share in the responsibility of the church, to serve in the ministry of the church, and to support the testament of the church. And if this is your heart and your desire, then say yes with the help of God. Then it's my honor and privilege on behalf of this wonderful congregation to say welcome to Hope on the Beach Church. Thank you so much. Let us rise and continue our worship.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene.
The words are on the back page.
I wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean, singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary, and suffered and died alone, singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. And with the ransomed in glory, his face I at last shall see. It will be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. Singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Everybody sing it.
They're singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Receive this blessing as you go today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May he look upon you with favor and give each and every one of you peace. Amen. God bless you. See you next week. We can definitely use some help breaking down. If you got some muscles, feel free to help us out. Thank you. God bless.